Turn in your Bibles tonight to the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18, and I'll read a very familiar portion of Scripture, verses 9 through 14, and speak to you tonight on this subject, the wonders of God's mercy, the wonders of God's mercy. And I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles in your hands and turn with me to different scriptures as we study tonight. This is Jesus speaking in the 18th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Let me point out a few things in the lesson I read before developing the wonders of God's mercy. Jesus is speaking to a group of people who trust in themselves that they are righteous and at the same time despise others. Now here are three prominent errors. It is wrong for anyone to trust in himself or herself. Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Gross error number 2, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags, that's correct. So 3 errors there. And then a 4th error, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It is not the mark of a Christian to despise anybody. In fact, we are taught to pray for our enemies and for those who despitefully use us. And so speaking to this type of congregation, he illustrates 2 men going up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And here's another error. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now he was talking primarily for himself so that others may hear him. And he said, I thank God that I am not as other men are. Another gross error. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the best way I know how to put it tonight is that you and I are all made out of exactly the same thing, and that's dirt that we walk on, and the only difference between a saved person and an unsaved person is not his goodness, but the grace of God. And something else. After he bragged upon himself, he said, I fast twice in the week and give tithes of all that I possess. He had put down others. He said, I am not an adulterer. I am not one that is an extortioner. And after pointing out the errors of others, he brags upon himself. And Jesus said that he had exalted himself and went down to his house without the mercy of God and without the help of God, and just as bad a sinner as he was when he came in the temple. Of course, the poor publican would not even lift so much as his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus looked at that poor man who would not even lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast, crying for God's mercy, and said, this man went down to his house justified, or went down to his house safe. Now let's look at about seven things concerning God's wonderful mercy, and turn, if you will, to Psalm 103, and let's look at verse 17. Psalm 103, and let's look at verse 17. The first thing I want to say about God's wonderful mercy is that it is eternal. Now, someone may have mercy upon you and be kind and forbearing with you, but that might not last forever. It might not last a week or a month or a year. But with God's mercy, it is eternal. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now to those that fear the Lord, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And I want to go beneath the surface and say that God's mercy in the covenant of grace did not begin in the Garden of Eden. It did not begin when Noah built the ark. It did not begin in God's promises to Abraham. God's mercy to his people began before the foundation of the world. That's why the psalmist David said in Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So God's mercy started in eternity past. God's mercy continues through our lifetime and the lifetime of every Christian, and God's mercy will still be manifested when we reach the other side in the glory land. God's mercy is not only everlasting. Turn over in the Psalms to the 119th division and to verse 64, and we'll see that God's mercy is boundless. Absolutely boundless. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. From north to south, from east to west, on all points of a compass, from 0 to 360 degrees, in any direction you look tonight, outward, backward, forward, upward, downward, in any direction you look tonight, we can see the boundless, matchless mercy of God Almighty. I'll tell you something else. The mercy of God actually prolongs life. Turn to Lamentations, the third chapter. That's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations, the third chapter. And let's look at verse 22 and see how God's mercy actually prolongs the lives of individuals. The wonders of God's mercy. We'll also learn something else in the 24th or 23rd verse. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The writer says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I've taught you this 100 times, but I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance tonight. And say that not only does your guardian angel or angels keep you from danger seen, but your guardian angel and angels keep you from dangers that are not saved. And even on your way to the house of God tonight, I'm sure that there were dangers unseen you knew nothing about, and the mercy of God was with you, and this verse says that it is by His mercy that we are not consumed, and if we do not die, His mercy keeps us alive. And something else in verse 23, His mercy is new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, I marvel at the mercy of God today. I marveled at it yesterday. And if I live to see the sun rise tomorrow, I'll marvel at it tomorrow, because His mercy will be just as new tomorrow as it was today. His mercy never grows old. Turn to Joel, the second chapter. His mercy encourages repentance. Encourages repentance. As I look back through the window of retrospection and remember when I was a sinner, I also remember the mercy of God and how, as the mercy of God was preached to me, somehow a spark came to my heart that encouraged me to want to become a Christian. It was outside of myself. It was the Spirit of the Lord. It was His mercy encouraging me. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Here he pleads with a rebellious people to turn to him first of all their hearts. Second, with fasting. Their soul is so afflicted they're not interested in eating. And with weeping. And one thing that is usually a sign of genuine repentance is that it is accompanied by tears, because oftentimes in the Word of God, when we see the experience of one being saved or converted, it is accompanied with tears. And the Bible says, with mourning. And rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So the mercy of the Lord is so wonderful that it points out the fact that He's slow to anger, that He has marvelous or wonderful or great kindness, and that it is Him and Him alone that can make up for the evil or the sinfulness in one's life. Repenteth him of evil. It encourages repentance. The mercy of the Lord is seen as a wonder, because only God's mercy can forgive sins. Turn to Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah, the 7th chapter. We shall look at the mercy of God as He forgives sins. As I said in the message this morning, there is no preacher, there is no priest, there is no potentate, there is no power in all the world that can forgive sins outside of the power of God. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? And we could pause here and make comparison after comparison after comparison and mention the false gods of yesteryear, the false gods of today, and of course the coming false god, the Antichrist, and raise the question, who is a God like unto thee? And then here's the reason that He's different to all other gods: that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage, He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. So this God who can pardon iniquity, who can pass by transgression, is one who delights in mercy. Turn to Titus, the third chapter. His mercy makes salvation possible. Titus chapter 3. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So his mercy makes salvation possible. Oftentimes when I'm studying with those who are strangers to God's grace, I point out the fact that their works can't save them, and I always read or quote Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So God's mercy makes salvation possible. And finally, turn to Psalm 117, the shortest chapter in the Bible, and we'll see a concluding thing about the mercy of God, how that it is great or abundant toward us. Psalm 117. God's mercy is eternal. It's boundless. It prolongs life. It encourages repentance. It forgives sin. It makes salvation possible. It is the thing that is the greatest toward us tonight. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. The wonders of God's marvelous mercy. In Psalm 136, there are 26 verses of Scripture. And each one of them ends with exactly the same phrase, for his mercy endureth forever. What shall we sing?
Number 256.
Number 256. 256. May we stand together.